John McMullen, welcoming you to another of John Mack Radio Rants, where we go back into history, primarily of Inwood, New York, but in other ways too. This is an irregularly scheduled weekly show, and you can get links to previous shows at my website, www.johnmack13, that's johnmac13.com, for both this show and for my regularly scheduled Sunday night show. The last night on the interview show, Kathy Collins and I, and then we were joined by Jim Taylor, talked about growing up in Inwood and some reactions to it, how the people who escaped from the neighborhood tended to have more successful careers and to go on to do other things, but still had this affection for the neighborhood that draws us back and draws us to people who grew up there, whether or not we were close with them at the time. I was thinking after it about growing up in the neighborhood, and I was thinking of the book that Hillary Clinton wrote, It Takes a Village, that many people derided, including people from Inwood. But Inwood was a village in that other parents looked out for us. People would call our mothers or our fathers. If we had a problem, they would take us in. And it was a very nurturing neighborhood. And in thinking about that, I was drawn to the mothers of two of my close friends. And the mothers were my favorite, or at least two of my three favorite mothers in the neighborhood. One was Ellen Melderig, the mother of the Frank Melderig, who's been my close friend since the first grade. And I'll never forget, on March 11th, 1951, when my father died, many of the neighbors, they were all over me. They were feeling so sorry for me. They were almost sloppy, sentimental about it. But two were different. Bill McLaughlin Sr., the father of another close friend, came up to me and shook my hand and said, John, your father was a good man. And that was all. He treated me as an adult. Mrs. Melderig said, you're coming for lunch. And they dragged me up there, and I ate, and they took my mind off for a while. And it was a good experience that I never forgot. Over the years, we had a rather contentious relationship in that, in many ways, she blamed myself and, to another extent, Jimmy Connors, for every bad thing that Frank did. We were bad influences. And I probably was, because when Frank went to Cathedral High School, he was off on Thursdays, and I wasn't, but I very often on Thursdays I became ill and I was home, but I was okay to go out to play basketball and do other things, and I'd go to call to Frank. I was obviously belonging to school and that was a bad influence. Well, then when we got into the drinking years, there was one weekend where we had little money, and Frank and the aforementioned Jim Connors and I went up to the roof landings of very tall apartment houses in the neighborhood. And we were drinking wine and playing cards and talking for a couple of hours. And then we headed for home. Frank spied his mother across the street walking the dog and talking to a neighbor. He said, that's my mother. And Jim went into his apartment house. And we walked down the street. His mother called us over. And she introduced us to this neighbor. And she really couldn't praise her own son too much to him, but she introduced me as Francis's very good friend, and she started talking about how smart I was and how much I read and how much I was a good friend. And after a while, the neighbor had enough and wandered home. And she turned to Frank and said, I know you've been drinking because this bum has. So in a millisecond, I went from this extremely bright, good friend to a bum. They went home, I went home. And the next day, my uncle came from Washington, a very straight-laced Bostonian. So I was on my best behavior on Saturday. But on Sunday, Frank and I went to a New York Giants football game. And we had I had won a bottle of Canadian Club at a bazaar. And it was a very cold day, and we drank too much of it, particularly me, since I had won the bottle. And we came home, and I was reluctant to go home to see my uncle having too much to drink. So I sat down in Frank's lobby, and I said, I'm going to sit here for a while. Frank came down and said, my mother wants you to come up and have dinner. I said, just call me a bum Friday, and I'm not going to go up there. Well, he dragged me up, and she couldn't have been nicer. She said, call your mother and tell her that you're having dinner here, and I did. And then she fed me soup. She had me take a nap. She had Frank wake me up and walk me around the block in the cold until I could go home. And it was just her taking care of me again. Years later, I used to drive her home from the Equitable when I worked there for a short time. And we got even closer as adults. And I used to call her in her later years when she got ill. She was always so happy to hear from me. She was just, then how are you doing and everything. So this was a wonderful experience. I had another experience with another mother of one of my friends, Mary Shea, the mother of a whole bunch of Shea kids, including Anne Marie, who I was close with. And then when I was home sick, I would call her up, and she'd say, come on over and have soup. So I'd go over, and I'd feed the baby, and she'd feed me soup. And she was always so caring and so nice. Years later, I found out, after she died, that when she was a junior in Mount St. Ursula High School, she had a junior at Fordham University asked her to his junior prom. When she told her mother, who was off the boat from Ireland, her mother said, I'll have to meet him. He's too old for you. So she brought him home, and in the lobby downstairs, she said, I'm going to introduce you as Vince Kelly. It'll go over better. He was confused by this, but he went along. And she brought him upstairs, and she introduced him. Mom, this is Vince Kelly. Vince, this is my mother. And her mother said, well, he may be very nice, but his name's not Kelly, and you're not going to the prom. So she was all upset, and she went out in the hall. And he said, don't worry about it. And she introduced him to a girlfriend. For years, she got a Christmas card from him signed Vince, quotation marks, Kelly Lombardi. That's right. The legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi. And she was wonderful to me. Different personality from Miss Meldera, just a very nice person. Both of them were so good to me. And Frank is still a friend. I spoke to Anne Marie on the phone 3 days ago. Her brother Donald, who was an altar boy at my first wedding and remembers that I gave him a big tip, is on Facebook, and I talked to him, and I attended the memorial service for his older brother Tom, who died much too young of ALS. The young lady who I used to feed in the high chair remembered that I had changed her diaper, which I told her, no, I never did that. I just fed you. So, two people who made me feel cared for, one in a in-your-face relationship, a terrific woman, the other extremely nice, just taking care of me and always asking Anne Marie if she had heard from me. Two people that to me represented the nurturing part of our neighborhood. And I'm very thankful that I grew up in that environment. Now I'm going to go out with the song for Miss Meldera and for Frank. He and I used to play The Dying Rebel in De Broistum by Ruthie Morrissey. And we had seen her at Mickey Carton's in Rockaway. This is not by Ruthie Morrissey. It's by the Wolf Tones, but it's sent with affection and memory of those days, both with Mr. Merle Derrick and in the Broadstone. And until next time, this is John McMullen saying, see ya.
as the fight was ended, the moon shone down.
Ireland's glory, the heart.